Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome to another episode of Women Worldwide. Well, we are well into the year, and I wonder how many of you actually step back and say, am I finding my clarity? Do I have clarity, and have I found my true purpose? Well, I've got a special guest on the show today who has a lot to share in this area. Her name is Dolores Hirschman, and she is helping professionals to be crystal clear about their purpose and their messaging. And she is the Chief Clarity Officer at Masters in Clarity. And Dolores, as a strategist and coach, she's helping ideapreneurs, and she's going to talk about exactly what that is, clarify their idea worth moving forward and sharing, and how to design their communication strategies and implement business growth systems. Her clients become speakers, authors. They take their messages to larger audiences like TEDx. And she works through group coaching. She does workshops and a lot of one-on-one coaching, as well as public speaking. So she's here to share her journey with you and also all of her great advice. Dolores, it's such a pleasure to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Well, I want to dive right into a little bit about you, your background, and your journey. You came to the U.S. from Argentina, and you sort of found different work paths. Maybe you could share what led you to becoming a Chief Clarity Officer. I love that title. And launching your Masters in Clarity business.
Yes, awesome. So I think I'm a seeker. I think as many of us are. And I honestly, if I think about it, I consistently have been asking myself the question, what would I do for free all day long? And not that I do any of this for free, but what would I do that I'm passionate about, that I never get tired, and that I wake up every morning super excited about the work I had, right? And so just a little story. When I graduated from high school in Argentina, I said to my dad, I want to be an actress or a film director. And he said, awesome, go to business school and then we can talk. And I kind of plowed through it. And I remember hating it. And my mom said, do you have a better idea? And I'm like, no. Okay, then keep at it. So, as a joke, actually, business school has given me a great foundation because honestly, what I am is a creative. And business school has given me the tools to create and also bring forth into the world my creation. So what brought me to Masters in Clarity is this consistent quest of what was I born to do? What am I, what flows naturally? What am I kind of wired to do? And I do this with my clients a lot. And there's actually a diagram that I use where I said, okay, let's look at the intersection of, you know, that what would you do for free all day long? What are you trained to do? What does the world need? And what would people pay? Right. And so the answer to those four questions is kind of what has led me to Masters in Clarity. And just to give you a little bit of snippet, I came to this country because I fell in love with my husband. And we moved from downtown Buenos Aires to a beautiful coastal town in Massachusetts. Stunningly beautiful. But you can imagine as a 25-year-old coming here in the winter, it was one of the things that I was like, okay, what do I do now?
Exactly.
The nightlife wasn't really there. The socializing wasn't really there. This is before children, and I have four.
Very different.
And so I actually had to be here and say, okay, how do I find myself in this place? How do I continue my professional intellectual growth living in this beautiful town, which is basically what had led me to a lot of discoveries. And just to fast forward, it was after my youngest child, I have four kids, went to school full time, that I closed my last business. I actually started three businesses, different businesses while the kids were little. And I became a consultant. A consultant to small organizations or teams that were launching projects. And I realized that I could talk strategy until people were blue in their face, but I couldn't make them do it. And so I went back to school to study coaching and to understand the human drivers of action, if you want, and how can you inspire people to really move forward with a project that they say they are invested in, but then action doesn't show up, right? And right. So that's when I launched my coaching business. And into it, I was doing mostly executive coaching and life coaching. I realized that it was good, but I was bored. And so again, I asked myself, what would I do for free all day long? And I am passionate about ideas, and I am passionate about ideas that can make an impact, a positive impact in the world. So I had already been a little bit involved with the TED organization as a TEDx organizer. And so at the time, this was about 5 years ago, I took over the local license that I had worked on and began leading one of the largest TEDx events here in the East Coast and basically volunteering for ideas, volunteering to give speakers a platform from where to share their ideas. And that's kind of what was the birth of Masters in Clarity, my realization that the reason why people don't really are not able to really get the momentum and get their ideas out into the world and manifest them in real products or organizations or movements that can have a sustainable long-term impact is that they sometimes lack clarity at the basic level.
And even just from what you said in the beginning, so I often hear, what am I doing wrong and why aren't I making money? But the question that you start with is, what do I love doing all day for free? What would that be? And that's such a reversed way of thinking that changes the entire process. That's fascinating.
Well, because when you are able, and I don't think it's just luck. I think it's by design. I mean, it's just understanding what is it that I will do for free all day long and turn that into my business product. What it allows me to do is to never get tired of it, be generous with my time because I'm always serving in something that, again, I would do for free all day long, right? But also what happens truly, and this is the magic, and this is what my clients experience, is that when you're able to serve from this place, you become magnetic and you become attractive. And people on the other side listening to you realize that you're not going anywhere, that you are doing what you were wired, what you're wired to do, what you were born to do. So you become a choice, much maybe better choice than someone that is kind of forcing themselves to do a work that they're not aligned. Does that make any sense?
Oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. Doing what you're wired to do, what comes naturally, and let everything flow out of that. And at the same time, the generosity of your time, because you love it, but yet you're still seeing the rewards. And somewhere along the line, the world needs, you know, that's the part of the design part. The world needs what you have to offer, and people will pay for it. The ideapreneur, why is that professional so perfect for this process? And is it that same, you know, process that you just described?
Yes. So my clients are people that typically they're, I don't want to generalize in age, but they've gone through school, they've done their career or as part of their career, they've worked for other people, and they have been haunted by an idea or a way of working that they know that if they commit to it, they can really get some traction and really just shift some paradigms out there. Many of my clients are service entrepreneurs, not all of them, but they basically believe that their work, and you can call it their idea, can make an impact probably bigger than themselves. And, you know, have you ever found this person who is passionate about what they do, but they are too afraid to do it as a business? They do it as a side hobby, or, you know, they play small here, but they have a full-time job.
Right. Or they have a lot of ideas, but they never pursue any of them.
Yeah.
But they might be really great ideas.
Yeah. And so it was interesting. A few years ago, I was on vacation, and I think things happen for a reason. And I was just, I don't really have time to window shop anymore. You know, I'm always kind of busy. But this weekend, I was like away. We were in the Berkshires with my husband. And I just happened to be strolling in this cute town. And I stopped at a bookstore. And this book jumped out at me. It's a children's book. And you should get it. It's called What to Do with an Idea. It's a beautiful book. I didn't write it. And it's beautifully illustrated. And I bought it. And it's basically a story about having an idea and having an idea bug you and ignoring that idea. And then even through years of ignoring the idea is still bugging you.
So it's still there.
It's still there. But you say, no, people, what will people think? People will judge me. People think I'm naive or whatever you say, right? Those conversations in our head. And until one day you give the idea a little bit of attention. And then the next day you give the idea a little bit more attention. And maybe you share it courageously with one or two people that you trust. Right? And then little by little, this idea, you realize that the more time you spend with this idea or with this work, you feel happier. You feel more alive. And you're like, oh, this is interesting. You know, the more time I allow this and share it a little bit more in my circle, the more I'm empowered, right? And little by little, you realize that this idea, if you give it the attention, the nurturing, the courage and the clarity, this idea eventually becomes bigger than you, and it becomes a force of good in the world. And at the end, I don't want to ruin it, but at the end of the book, the answer the question, "What do you do with an idea?" And at the end of the book, say, "Well, what do you do with an idea? You change the world."
Change the world.
It's a beautiful book.
Why do you? This sounds like a beautiful book, and it's good that it's a children's book, so that idea gets into the minds of children who will maybe pay more attention.
Well, and adults,
to some of their
ideas. And adults that we buy all, you know, probably you and I, we buy all these books. I never finish reading them. This one you can read in like 10 minutes.
Yes. So you know, you mentioned the courage and kind of having that clarity to be able to be with the idea and to become happier with it. Do you think that if you don't have that confidence, is this a confidence issue that you don't let that idea come out?
It's a self-doubt issue. It's a self-worth issue. It's who am I to become the catalyst of this work? Or who am I to bring this idea forth and impact the world? It's actually that I always say that I'm a business strategist and a communication strategist, but I'm really a coach. I believe that we become successful in our work when we are able to be okay with who we are, accept who we are, and allow ourselves to become our best and biggest version.
Interesting. And Dolores, I just had a quick question because you mentioned the coach. So a business coach versus a personal coach, or should this always be a blend?
Yeah. So I was talking with someone about this actually yesterday. And I said, well, let me put it this way. Let's call it a human coach.
Oh, nice. That's a good way of putting it, the human coach.
If you're in business, you're in business to make a living or whatever, right? But you're in action in the world. And there's two layers, always, always, there's two layers of conversation or guidance. If you want to not use the word coaching, let's do the word guidance. There's a strategic, tactical guidance, meaning I've done this before. I know how to get from point A to point B. This is what you have to do, right? So, for example, you tell someone, well, you know, to go here to the store, this is the streets you go through, right? But let's assume that the person, and you give them a GPS and a car. Let's assume that the person had a car accident a week before. They sit in the driveway. They have the GPS. It's all programmed. They have fuel. The car is working. But they're frozen, and they're not. You can see they're not leaving the driveway. And you're like, wait, I told you what to do. You have a car that worked. You have a driving license. What's wrong with you, right? And they're like, well, I'm afraid because the last time I took this car out, I had an accident, right? And so there's not enough times you can tell them, well, the road is fine, you're fine, the GPS worked. You have to actually help them process the fear. Because if they don't, they'll never leave the driveway. So in my work, I work tactical and strategically with my clients until I get a roadblock or a fear snippet or something that tells me, there's a little bit here that is not smooth, right? And so I turn into a coach and I said, okay, would you allow me, would you give me permission to massage this fear with you? And let's see if we can co-create a different perspective or a different reality for you so that you can take the action.
Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting. I think the human coach is probably the best case scenario.
It's at the end of the day, it's humans doing business. So there's a doing part of business and there's a being part of business. The doing is, you know, strategies and best practices and tips and whatever you can, you know, find. But the being, you can't go and buy the being.
No, you can't.
You gotta find it inside. And so that's what I do when I become a coach. I design the being that will take the action.
So this reminds me of something that you said in an earlier conversation about aligning the inside growth with the outside growth. Is this sort of what you're shaping up here? Could you maybe explain that a little bit too?
So what we do is simply a reflection of who we believe we are and what we're capable of doing. I will never sign up for a marathon if I truly believe I can't run it. Even if you tell me that I can, because I can, I'm healthy, I can. It's like, oh no, there's no way I can. It's not until, and that's, you know, you said there's people who have tons of ideas and they never take action because the growing of an idea or lack of growing of an idea, committing to an idea is a reflection of who they believe they are. If they cannot see themselves as a successful ideapreneur or a successful business owner or a business owner that is growing, they will never actually take the action. I mean, you probably, I'll speak for myself. I know, and how do I know this? Because I've done it. I've been that person and I'm still doing it. Every layer of growth, and in this business, once I found this alignment with the work that I would do for free all day long, I don't know if I've shared this before, I've actually grown my service business. I've doubled every single year.
That's fantastic.
And every single January, now that I have this pattern, I'm like, oh, I have to double again this year, right? Every single January is meltdown month for me. And now I know. Now I know to expect it. I go into self-doubt and I cry. And I can't do this anymore. I'm a fake, imposter syndrome. All the syndromes you can imagine, I go through all of them. Every single January. My husband laughs now. It's pretty pathetic, I have to say. But now...
Well, I'm sure you're not alone. I think we all have somewhere along the line we fall exactly. into that yearly, you know, that month where we're going to say exactly. something like that.
But now that I'm aware of it, I actually welcome it. Because what I've realized that it is that it is a shedding of a skin. Mm-hmm. It is a fighting of myself of, no, I cannot grow this year. I'm done. I'm fine. Why do I need to grow? Who do I think I am? Blah, blah, blah. But it's not until I go through that horrible process, which I don't enjoy, but I enjoy the outcome, not the process. It's like a diet.
But you have to go through it to get there.
Exactly. But what I find is that on the other side of that, if I don't resist it, right, if I allow to go through it, and I now know what to expect it, and I get help and whatever, what I know it's on the other side is that I will be taking assertive action. I will follow my intuition. I will follow the signs, even though I sometimes I'm like, oh, this is you know, too big or too scary. I will actually take that action once I go through that reskinning. I basically, if you want, I could say I hadn't thought about this, but I just developed my thicker skin for my next level of growth.
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds like when you can align the outside and the inside, and you can take the assertive mm-hmm. action, and it's almost like sometimes a mini, I don't want to say reinvention, mm-hmm. but that reskinning sends you to your next mm-hmm. level and when where you were supposed to be. Dolores, I'm going to ask you to hold your thoughts for just a moment. We're going to take a super quick break to give some love to our sponsor. And I also want to mention that Women Worldwide is on the C-Suite Radio Network. And you can find all of our shows at c-suiteradio.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out all the other great business podcasts as well.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communication and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from awareness to action and impact by offering a digital marketing roadmap. Let us help you foster deeper engagement and forge stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. That's pureperformancecom with 2 M's.com.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show. Dolores Hirschman and I were just chatting about being a master in clarity and ideapreneurs and aligning your inner and outer growth. So Dolores, with all of the work that you're doing, and clearly you are the case study and the example and what you've done for yourself, you're now doing for others. What are some of the challenges maybe that you've faced as an entrepreneur in business?
Mm-hmm. So let's just talk about my biggest recent challenge, which was also, you know, sometimes is our biggest opportunity. We don't always want to see it that way in the trenches when we're in the trenches, but it can be, right? So just to give you a little, this is a little bit of a personal story, but I think it's all, as I say, it's a human experience, right? So about 2 years, a little bit over, less than 2 years ago, as I think I mentioned, I am a mother of four. And part of the things that I'm proud of is that through the beginning, through the birth of my children and raising of my children, I was always able to balance both motherhood and work. I've designed and built businesses that will give me intellectual and professional growth while and profit and financially sustainable. And while at the same time raising my children. So I honestly feel I haven't had to sacrifice. I also had the luxury, or I'm grateful for the opportunity that my husband, you know, had a great job, and we could share that financial responsibility. But about a year and a half ago, that kind of changed, and it changed suddenly. It's a long story. My husband works with family business, and sometimes family business can be very, very tricky and, you know, difference yes. of interest. But let's say that all of a sudden he went from being the main breadwinner to saying to me, look, I don't even know where this is going to go. This is a disaster.
But that's a big change.
Yeah, but potentially we will have no income starting this next month, right? And at the time, again, I was sharing, I had found my groove. I was loving my work. I was like, my mom said, it's like, oh my God, you're like in the best moment, right? And I was doubling year to year. But it's still small business, you know, very small business. I worked only a few hours a day. That was by design. We were good in that scenario. But losing my husband's income, there was going to be a substantial loss of income. 60% or more of our monthly income was going down the drain.
And kids are expensive.
Very. My oldest is about, you know, we have 5 more days to decide where he's going to college, you know, just to give you an idea. Yeah.
Yeah. The college years. Yep.
That were just starting. So I actually spent the whole month playing victim. It was actually not January. It was December. And I was like, my head went to the worst nightmare, mm-hmm. worst possible outcome. We're going to lose everything. And what are we going to do with the kids? And blah, 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 blah. And I insisted that we were going to this kind of catalytic, apocalyptic scenario.
Yes, yes.
But in the meantime, here I had a business that was doing well, right? So I was leaning into failure versus leaning into opportunity. And I consistently did that for a few weeks until I said, you know what? Okay, I can cry all I want, but I do have a business. Mm-hmm. I do know what I'm doing. I have people who follow me. I work, I don't know, 4 hours a day. I can work 6 hours a day. I can work 8 hours a day like normal people. And let's see where it takes me. And so I put my head down and I said, okay, this, you know, January, it was actually literally January 1st. It was the first month we will have no income from my husband. And I said, okay, the number I need to generate this month in order to keep the mortgage payment, you know, all the piles of bills is X. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I believe that I can. And I shifted mm-hmm. my mindset. I talk a lot in, I think you introduced me as such, as business growth strategist. I actually went down and looked for help and designed a business model that would allow me to leverage my time, to leverage my work, and to serve my clients well, right? And so I said, I had to go from 0 to 100. So I didn't have time to try it out. I didn't have time to self-doubt. I had to just get out and sell it and propose it. And lo and behold, Deirdre, I did it. And
congratulations.
That month I doubled and I reached that magic number, and the next month as well. And it's been 18 months of that.
Oh my goodness.
And so it's been So the challenge was a literal challenge that we were going to have a financial breakdown if I didn't come up with this number. But the internal challenge was overcoming the belief system that my work was a hobby, not a real business, and that I could not support my family. And so until I got there, then I could do the other thing.
Yeah. I mean, your mindset and the power of positive thinking. I mean, we hear this all the time, and maybe unless it actually happens to you, you don't realize the gravity mm-hmm. that it holds over you. So that is such a challenge, and thank you for sharing how you were overcoming. What did you, during that challenge, what did you learn mm-hmm. about yourself when you look back?
Ooh. what am I still learning?
Yeah, we're always learning.
So one of the things that were really clear for me, real big message, and it's a little vulnerable, but I think I pride myself of really being a seeker and discovery and working on myself and improving. And that month made me realize that, yeah, I do all this work, but my default mode is victimhood. Mm. And it still is. The difference is now that I'm more and more aware and I don't judge it. I'm aware. And I'm going to give you an example. So my mom, right? I talk to my mom a lot, and she's in Argentina. She's a great, great mom.
That's nice.
And so I called her. So literally, we are in the weeks of college, and we also have choices, right? My son got accepted into Carnegie Mellon. It's a great school. But it's also $70,000 a year, right? And then other great, great schools, and where he gets married scholarship anyway. And I remember a week ago, I called my mom in panic, crying. It's like, oh, we're going to do this. I want to give the best to my child. But we're still in the chaos with my husband and his family, whatever. And so she actually, you know, she came and cried with me and all that stuff. And then mm-hmm. I actually called her because she gets very worried after we hang up because she's in Argentina. And so she feels like, oh, my God, how can I call my daughter? So I called her yesterday and I said, Mom, I want to help you help me. And she's like, okay. I said, well, when I call you in the crying, oh my God, poor me mode, I said to her, listen, because I need to get it out. And then when I'm done, you said, okay, I hear you. I hear how you feel. I hear that you're leaning into victim. What is another mm-hmm. option?
Exactly.
Give me another choice of who can you be next. But she's not a coach. She's actually studying to being a coach, by the way. But
interesting.
But she's not a coach. But basically I said, you know, I want you to, because I want to call you when I'm panicking, but I don't want you to be worried because I'm just, you know, leaning into a side that, you know, maybe for a moment we have to go there. But I want you to remind me that I always have a choice. And maybe this is a message for your audience, is that for any way that we're feeling, it is a perspective. And while at the moment we can't get out of it, it's okay to be in it for a minute or two, reminding ourselves that, okay, I got it out of my system. Now, what is an empowered version of me that I can choose to move forward with whatever it is that I'm dealing with?
Right. And having your mom there to remind you that there are other choices mm-hmm. And what can you do? That's so important because I do believe I'm going to call it that pity party, which is different than the scope of victimhood. But we have to feel what we feel.
Yeah.
Right. And then that energy has to move through us onto finding that clarity and answering the question, well, what are those choices? And maybe just even shifting, like you said, one choice might open up options to five other choices that you didn't necessarily see.
Yeah, because when you're in that pity place, and that's okay to be for a little bit, you even forget that there are choices.
Right.
You feel that this is it.
Yeah.
And that what you see in front of you is the only reality. And it's never so. It's absolutely never so.
I know, because when you look back, like I just think about, you know, sometimes, you know, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you start thinking about something, it always seems worse than it is, right? Because when you go back and it's the next day or it's 2 days later and you're kind of like, no, I had all these choices and options and what was I so worried about or what was really getting to me? It's just that moment. Yeah. So like you said, Dolores, getting beyond that perspective, and that is, should not define how it's going to be moving on. You mentioned, you know, we're talking about learning and growing, certainly learning about yourself and growing. So it begs another question. What do you think helps you to learn and grow the most in business? Do you have go-to resources that maybe you could share?
Yeah, so a couple of things. I belong, as I think many of us nowadays, I belong to communities and groups of entrepreneurs. Some are women entrepreneurs, some are co-ed, and I lead my own as well. And so those environments give you a safe space to explore, a safe space to share wins, but also share failures. I think failures, if we can accept what didn't go well and learn from it, is probably the richest place for learning, right? It's very hard to learn from what went really well. But from what didn't go well is where opportunity really comes. Hard to do. I mean, none of this that I say it so lightly, but, you know, it's so easy to talk about them, much harder to do these things. And that's why you need people and you need support and you need colleagues and you need people you trust and environments that allow you to expand. So I think for learning and expanding, I like to belong to these environments. I'm an avid reader. I always have a book that I'm working on or working through. Depending on the moment in my year, I'm working in through tactical knowledge or personal development. You know, it's if I'm in full implementation, it's more tactical. If I'm in full skin shedding, it's more personal, right? I mean, I'm a coach, so a lot of my learning happens from my clients. I feel like as a coach, I get the privilege.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that.
I get the privilege to learn from my clients all the time.
Absolutely. Do you think, just going back to, you talked to, about some of the communities, the groups of entrepreneurs, those environments where you can learn from their experiences as well. Do you feel that that keeps you motivated? Is that, or inspired?
Yes.
For what you do, is there something else?
I mean, I think for me, you know, honestly, when I graduated from coaching training, I don't know how I fell into coaching because I didn't even know what a coach was. And you know, it's one of those things that I should have hired a coach and done a coaching pro, like coaching for myself. No, instead I went from zero to becoming a coach. When I graduated, I had no clue this world of communities and coaching existed. So belonging to one truly opened my eyes at a world and a way of working that was absolutely new to me. So absolutely working with people who are ahead of me has been truly valuable. As I evolve in this space, I'm looking for different kinds of mentors because now it's not that I know this world totally. Well, never, you know, there's always more to learn. But I'm looking to go higher and to be more of in environments where we are talking about. I love the communication part. That's why I belong to TEDx. I actually just come back from New York from the World Global Meeting of TEDx Organizers, organized by TED. So environments like that show me worlds and insights and perspectives and ideas. You know, I love the concept of ideas that I would never find on my own. So that's how I learn. That's how I expand. It's not very linear, but it's definitely there.
Learned, expand, and reskin.
Yeah,
maybe you could just give some parting advice to others about finding their life purpose or their work purpose and turning it into action.
Great. So I think we started with this, and I have it in my work. It's like a little chart that I ask the question, but a very practical way to find that sweet spot of the work you're meant to do is to answer four questions. What would you do for free all day long? What are you trained to do or have experience doing? You can even break those in two questions. What does the world need and what would the world pay for? That's just a very simple framework to find that sweet spot, because the common denominator of those answers will give you the answer of your core idea, the idea behind your work, right?
Yeah.
And then the last thing I want to leave people with, and this is actually at the core of all the work my clients do, whether you are coming to me to be a speaker or you're coming to me to be a speaker and to grow your business, is give me the idea behind your work in one short sentence. And that's kind of the hardest. And I learned this trick because as a TEDx organizer, when I'm curating for my event, that's the first question I would ask. Okay, tell me your idea in one sentence. And if they can't, that means they don't have clarity. And so the sentence I use as framework that is to action so that outcome. Let me give you my idea. To guide entrepreneurs to clarity so that they can realize the impact of their work. That's just what I do. I do it in many ways, but at the core of everything that I do is that. And so finding that one sentence statement of the work that you do is going to give you the foundational clarity. And it will. The name of my company is Masters in Clarity because my job is to make my clients masters of their clarity. And so once you find that one sentence idea, which is the foundation of your work, then every decision, every conversation, everything that you do, you got to ask yourself, am I honoring this idea or not?
Yeah, that is so important. And your one sentence is crystal clear. Tamaris, where can we find out more about you and your work?
Mastersinclarity.com.
That's easy. I hope everybody checks out mastersinclarity.com. Dolores, thank you so much for coming on the show, for sharing your journey. We've learned so much from you, and we really appreciate all of your advice and insights today.
Thank you.
And I also want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.